Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1940. This is Edward Arnold, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm happy to welcome you on behalf of the makers of Maxwell House Coffee to another Good News program starring Fanny Bryce, Hanley Stafford, Connie Boswell, Benny Rubin, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Tonight's program, as we promised you last week, is an especially great occasion because we welcome as guests not only the fine young movie actor Alan Marshall and our good friend Bill Gargan, but also one of the screen's most talented stars and who is a very captivating lady as well. Miss Claudette Colbert.
Gee, Ed, is she really here?
Yes, Meredith, and I've arranged for you to meet her. Are you nervous?
Who, me? No, siree, Bob. I got the whole conversation laid out in my mind.
Oh, you have you? Well, have you laid out what she's going to say?
Gee, I never thought of that.
Well, it's too late now. Suppose you try to get the program started with some music.
Okay.
And what are you going to play?
I don't know. Whatever the boys have got ready. Gee, the time
like
this... Go
ahead and play. Go ahead. Get up there. Let's go.
Did you ever see a place so hectic? Where the folks are getting apoplectic. Everyone's nerves are running a race. Sure reminds us of a small-time riot. Tell me, how can there be peace and quiet? Till that big event takes place. There's gotta be a wedding before it's too late. There's gotta be a wedding soon. The bride of us, the bustle, trying to hustle that old wedding tune. There's gotta be a wedding before it's too late. We ought to go and spread the news. The groom is mighty proper, jipping the topper, shaking in his shoes.
Her Mary's so excited,
she's getting out of hand.
Her pappy's drinking julep,
he wants to lead the band. There's gotta be a wedding before it's too late. We ought to let the organ play. Got the preacher burning, learning the sermon for that wedding day. Look out!
Oh, look out!
Look out!
Hep, hep!
Hep, hep!
Trying to bust a muscle, trying to hustle that old wedding day.
There's Gonna Be a Wedding, played by Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Very good, Meredith, considering your condition.
Cut it out, Ed. When are you going to let me meet the, Miss...
Well, come on, try and pull yourself together.
Okay. Is my tie straight?
Why, sure, you look all right. Now, just relax. Now then, Miss Colbert, this is Meredith Wilson.
Who?
Holy smoke, you might give a guy some warning.
Well, I didn't mean to startle you, Mr. Wilson.
No, it's wonderful. I mean, I beg your pardon. I'm pleased to meet you.
Come on, Meredith, try and act like you've been around.
Well, I haven't. Gee, Miss Colbert, I can't tell you what this means to me. I mean, having an intimate conversation with you like this.
Oh, yeah, it's cozy, isn't it?
Sure is. What's your favorite hobby, Miss Colbert?
Now, suppose you tell me yours first, hmm? What's your favorite hobby?
Stamps and coins.
Oh, numismatics.
No, I collect nickels.
Well, that's sensible.
Sure. Say, just so's our friendship will ripen faster, would you mind telling me the story of your life?
Oh, now you tell me yours first.
You sure you want to hear it? I was born in Mason City, Iowa on March 13th, 1908. My dad was a prosperous lawyer.
Meredith, Meredith.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, I know Claudette hasn't got the heart to stop you, but I have. If you can get her to listen to the story of your life some other time.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'd love to hear it some other time, Mr. Wilson. Really, I would. Now, but I think Mr. Arnold wants to get on with the program.
Oh.
Well, that's it exactly. Thank you, Claudette. We'll hear Miss Colbert in a dramatic sketch later in the show. Now, a song from the winner of the annual Radio Daily Poll. America's number one singer, our own Connie Boswell.
Thanks, Eddie. And I'd also like to thank all the radio editors and their readers for the honor they bestowed on me.
Right. Connie Boswell sings Farewell to Arms.
Hey, Eddie.
Yes, Warren.
Eddie, remember that letter I showed you before the program?
Yeah.
May I read it to our listeners?
Well, by all means, Warren. It's mighty interesting.
Thanks, Eddie. Friends, this letter comes from Mr. Joseph Gilmore of Middle Grove, New York. He writes,
"A neighbor of mine has rather a large family, and because I know he has a hard time making both ends meet, I was surprised to see him coming home one day with a 2-pound can of Maxwell House coffee. When I asked him why he didn't buy a cheaper coffee, he said,
"I have to make every penny count, Joe, and well, this Maxwell House is not only the best coffee I ever tasted, but just about the cheapest in the long run. Why, Maxwell House goes a lot further, and besides, I get coffee I really enjoy."
Well, after that remark, I decided to try Maxwell House myself. And believe me, for my family, it'll be Maxwell House from now on.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. We're glad you appreciate what honest, outstanding value there is in every pound of Maxwell House coffee. And millions of people have made the same discovery, because more people are enjoying Maxwell House coffee today than ever before in its history. And friends, if you haven't tried Maxwell House lately, you're missing the matchless flavor of a wonderfully improved blend. You're missing true, natural coffee goodness brought to its peak by the uniform, radiant roast process. Yes, you're missing the richest, most delicious, most downright satisfying coffee that 50 years of experience can pack into that familiar blue Maxwell House can. So ask your grocer for Maxwell House tomorrow, won't you? Your own enjoyment and satisfaction will tell you this new Maxwell House coffee is now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Well, it looks as though Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, might get rich. He has discovered a notice in the newspaper calling for the missing heirs of a rich man by the name of Higgins. And Daddy thinks he may be related. So right now, we find him hard at work trying to trace his family tree. Listen.
I had no idea my family went that far back. Now, if I can only prove a claim to the old man's fortune...
Boy!
How, Daddy?
Oh, Snooks, you should be in bed.
What are you doing, Daddy?
I'm looking at some books on genealogy.
Jimmy who?
Not Jimmy. Genealogy. Genia, birth, ology, discourse. It's taken from the Greek.
Which Greek?
Any Greek.
Pachycarchus?
Now, what's Pachycarchus got to do with this?
I don't know.
Genealogy is an account or history of the descent of a person or family from an ancestor. I'm looking up my family tree.
Why?
To find my origin.
Is it an orange tree?
Not orange tree. I said origin. Origin. Understand?
Understand.
So what did I say?
Oranges.
All right, so I said oranges. Now go to bed.
I want an orange.
You can't have any oranges. Will you go to bed and let me finish my work?
What's in the book, Daddy?
I just told you. It's the history of all the Higginses. It tells about my forefathers.
Did you have forefathers?
Certainly.
Did you have four mothers, too?
No, I didn't have four mothers.
I had one mother.
Did they all live together?
Who?
Your one mother and your four fathers.
But my mother had nothing to do with my forefathers.
Didn't she like them?
Certainly she liked them.
Then why didn't you have nothing to do with them?
She never met them. When I say forefathers, I don't mean forefathers. Nobody has forefathers, but everybody has forefathers. They don't have to be a father at all.
You feel all right, Daddy?
I knew that was coming. Don't ask me to explain anything else.
Why?
Because you never listen to anything I tell you.
I'll listen, Daddy.
Well, it's very simple. The forefathers I'm referring to are my ancestors. They all bore the name of Higgins, and they were my progenitors. Savvy?
Savvy.
Thank heaven.
You had four fathers, and they were all janitors.
That's fine. Now you're going to bed. Good night.
Good night. I'm staying here.
Oh, look here, Snooks. Now listen, this work I'm doing tonight may mean an awful lot to you.
Why?
Because if I can prove I'm related to a certain man, we'll be rich.
Which man?
An eccentric millionaire who died 2 weeks ago. His name was Lockstep Higgins.
Lockstep Higgins?
That's right. It's a very odd first name, and that's the one thing that leads me to believe he's a kinsman.
Why?
Well, it's a characteristic trait of our family to give unique first names. That explains your uncle, Camembert, and your little brother, Robespierre.
What explains me?
The less said, the better. Anyway, the name seems to be a clue.
What's your name, Daddy?
Oh, you know my name, Snooks.
Now, I don't.
You do, too. What does Mother call me?
Pinhead.
She does not. And don't remind me of it. My name happens to be the only departure from the list of curious names in our family.
Tell me your name, Dad.
It's Lancelot Bottle Cap Higgins. And you needn't act as if you didn't know.
I knew the Lancelot, but I didn't know about the bottle cap.
Well, I don't use my middle name very often.
I like it. Bottle cap, where have you been? I've been to...
All right, all right. Now, the main thing is to try and get a portion of the old man's money. It's over $5 million.
How do you know?
He left a will.
Will Higgins?
No, will. Last will and testament. It's a paper you sign that allows somebody to get all the money you've made.
Did you sign a will with money?
What do you mean?
Well, she takes your salary.
I know. I haven't seen the inside of my pay envelope for 9 years. Like being married to an installment company.
Huh?
Nothing. But wait till I get my hands on this dough.
Are you going to get it, Daddy?
I don't know. I haven't been able to trace any family connection with this lockstep Higgins yet.
I'll help you look.
I've been all through my side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to find out what's on mother's side.
I know what's on mother's side, Daddy.
Oh, what?
A mustard plaster. I shouldn't have put it there.
I'm not talking about that at all. I've got to look through her lineage.
The clean ones?
Oh, stop it. Hand me those papers.
What's in this big book, Daddy?
That's an old family album. Yeah. Well, let me see it. There might be something in it.
Yeah. Look at the funny pictures.
Well, what's funny about it?
Mm-hmm.
They're just wearing old-fashioned clothes, that's all. But you can see that every member of my family was an aristocrat.
A rusty cat?
Aristocrat. Huh. Plenty of blue blood in my veins.
Is there?
Why, certainly. I'll let you in on a little secret, Snooks. I come from a family of peers.
I won't tell nobody, Daddy.
Oh, I'm proud of it.
Why?
Why? Look at the picture of this fine old gentleman, one of my great-grandfathers. Mm-hmm. This was taken when he was made a knight.
How did he look in the daytime?
He looked fine. Queen Elizabeth made him a knight. She gave him the Order of the Bath.
Did he take it?
Why, of course. It's a great honor. He was only 30 years old at the time, and he never expected to get the Order of the Bath.
He never got it before?
Why, of course not.
He must have been awful dirty.
The Order of the Bath is a title. It's like being a prince.
Who's this one, Daddy?
Oh. Well, we never speak of him. He was my father's uncle. Now, let me tear up that picture, son.
Is that the one who was the bearded lady in the circus?
Yes, he ran away. How did you know?
Mommy shows it to everybody.
Oh, she does, eh? Well, I'll go around showing pictures of her relatives, if I can get them out of the rogues' gallery.
I want to see them, Daddy.
Never mind. Well, what's that you got in your hand?
It's a funny picture with writing on it.
Let me see it.
Yeah.
To Cousin Flyleaf. Oh, that's my father. From Cousin Lockstep Higgins. Lockstep! Why, that's the guy.
Who?
The millionaire. Snooks, we're rich.
Are we?
I'll inherit a fortune. Where's that lawyer's phone book? Here, let me get at that phone.
Here, Daddy.
Hello. Get me Fuller, 40101. Oh, I knew that Lockstep would be a member of my family. He had brains.
Why,
he must have had brains to make $5 million. That's the stuff us Higgins are made of. It runs in the family.
Runs in the family?
Oh, you bet. We're all alike, every one of us. Oh, hello. Look, this is Lancelot Higgins calling about... Huh? What? He didn't leave a cent. But the will! Oh. He was nuts, eh?
It runs in the family, Daddy.
I see. Goodbye. Well... That's that. The old loon was broke. Everything happens to me.
Go to bed, Daddy.
Okay. Good night, Snooks.
Good night. Poor Daddy.
Now, another of Meredith Wilson's spectacular production arrangements. This time he's chosen one of Jerome Kern's most magical melodies and made of it a dazzling, brilliant musical experience. Meredith presents Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Very good indeed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are very happy to welcome again a young man who's becoming very popular on this program. The motion picture hero of Damon Runyon's Joe Terp stories, otherwise known as Bill Gargan.
Thank you, Edward. Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to attend such a distinguished gathering of bon vivants.
Say, that ain't the Gargan I know. Let down your hair, Terp, will you?
Oh, please, Edward, not tonight.
Ain't you going to do a Joe Terp story?
No. I think it would be wise, Edward, for the public to hear me as my natural, cultivated self. So I'll ask you to forget all about Brooklyn, at least for the nonce.
No, whatever you say, old fellow. I can understand your feelings, I'm sure.
Pardon me. Just a minute, buddy. I'm searching for a party by the name of William Gargan.
William Gargan? I am he.
I am he? Yes, sir. Well, here's a package from the express company here. Sign here. Booking here. COD.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, wait till I get my wallet.
Say, you ain't Bill Gargan, are you, pal?
I am he.
Bill Gargan from Brooklyn?
I am he.
I am going.
Hey, Mr. Gargan, you know, I'm from back there, too. Atlantic Avenue.
Atlantic? Well, I'm a... No kidding. Are you from Brooklyn?
Yeah, I am he. Gee whiz, Mr. Gargan, I've seen you in lots of pictures. But I... Don't I know your kisser, like, from someplace back home?
I don't think so.
Well, let me think. Let me think now. You go to the Philharmonic concerts at the Academy?
Certainly, I use. Use you?
Well, yeah. Use you?
Sure, I use.
Yeah, look, use you go to the concerts in the park, too?
Yeah, I use. Use you?
Yeah, I use. That's where I seen you.
Yeah.
Hey, look, do you remember the night when Stokowski was knocking off that Bach fugue in F-sharp minor?
I was there. I was there, and I didn't miss a note from the first and daddy down through all the quarters up to the fortissimo.
And boy, gee, wasn't it the nuts, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But I tell you what's missing with Stokowski.
What's that?
It's all right to use your bare hands when you're conducting.
Uh-huh.
But you got to remember that one of them battens holds a great significance to a musician.
What?
Because some of them guys like to be bulldozed.
Oh, yeah. You're right. And look, while we're taking a rap at Leo...
Yeah?
You know what I'm missing him? You know what I'm missing him to Tuscaninius, good?
What's that?
That underground of suggestive harmonization, you know, that's always prevalent when the wind instruments play a la legato.
Yeah. Buddy, let me shake the hand of a guy with a soul.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Hey, how did you like the Aprime Don Forni by Debussy?
Aprime Don Forni?
Yeah, that's when the sheep take it under lamb in a pond.
In the park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They run all over the joint, don't they?
Yeah.
Now, take the first theme.
Uh-huh.
You know, the one announced by the flute.
Well, it's hitting me. It's hitting
you
me.
You know, when the strings rise up in their celestial splendor, culminating in that dominant ninth chord.
Mr. Gargan, you mean the invited ninth chord, don't you?
Oh, yeah. How'd I ever leave that out?
I tell you, when I hear that, I could go without eating.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You know what I miss out here? Something terrible.
Chamber music?
The
opera?
Yeah, there ain't nothing out here like the Met. I got to star for beauty, why, I even listen to the radio.
Oh, you're kidding!
No! I'll tell you who I heard the other day.
Cool.
Round Tone Larry.
Who?
Larry Tibbet.
Well, that's my idea of a baritone tone.
Gives me pleasure to hear you say that.
Yeah.
I heard him blast out Figaro.
Figaro?
Yeah.
Hey, I heard it 1,000 times, Figaro.
Yeah, yeah, but not with Tibbet's fullness. Not with that color. Not with the shading. The enunciation. Why, he practically narrates the story for you.
Yeah, that's right. I'm nuts about him. And you know who else?
Who?
John Chuck Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, especially when Chuck, at the finish of a concert, says like this, "Good night, Mutter."
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you something, it tears the cockles of me heart.
Yeah, yeah, it's just plain inspiring.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I gotta get back to the truck. You know, you didn't pay me for the COD.
Oh, yeah, here you are, here you are. Say, don't tell nobody what's in that package.
Well, how would I know? I only deliver them. I don't wrap them, you know.
Oh, okay, forget it.
Well, certainly. What is it?
Oh, I ain't saying.
What are you ashamed of?
I ain't ashamed of nothing, but I ain't just saying, that's all.
Is it hot?
Now, wait a minute, buddy. I never stole nothing in my life. And I tell you what was in it, if I was sure you wouldn't say nothing to nobody.
I won't say a word.
Well,
what is it?
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Okay, then don't tell me. Forget it, then.
All right, I'll tell you, but if you ever say anything to anyone...
Honor bright! Giving me weight, I'll never open my kisser.
Well, Well, it's a flute.
A flute?
Yeah, yeah, silver flute.
Can you play it?
Certainly.
Gee, that's wonderful. Give me a load, huh?
Okay, now wait a minute. Give me a chance to warm up my lips. I ain't practiced for a long time.
Go ahead.
Ah, there. Now, here's a cadenza for you.
A cadenza, yeah, let me hear. Oh, what a glissando. Mr. Gargan, that's the hottest lip I ever heard. Give me a boy.
Thanks, buddy. I'm glad you appreciate it.
Well, now that you open up, I got a little confessing to do myself.
Yeah? Yeah, what is it?
Well, I do some singing. Well, I do some singing. Well, I do some singing. Well, I do... Well, I do some singing myself.
You got a good range, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm a baritone. Mammy's little short name, short name, short name. Mammy's little short name, short name, bread. Mammy's little short name, short name, short name. Mammy's little short name, short name, bread.
Hey. Say, you got real class.
Oh, thanks.
Say, I got an idea. Maybe we can rip off a duet.
Oh, good. Do you know a very popular song that's out just now called Low Here to Gentle Lock?
Yeah, yeah, I know that. How's this for a key?
That's okay. Go ahead. Let's get started. Low here to gentle lock. Low here to gentle lock. Come on, you Bill Goggin, hear that gentle lock.
Great, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, call me up sometime. We'll go to the ballet.
Thank you, Mr. Goggin.
That was fine, Meredith. That was fine. So, Meredith, how long have you been playing the flute?
Don't give me away, Eddie. Say, Eddie.
Yeah.
I've got an idea for a new Maxwell House theme song.
Yeah? Well, what is it, Meredith?
Well,
what is it like?
It's all about honeysuckle and roses and jasmine, flowers that are fragrant. Fragrant like Maxwell House coffee. You get the tie-up, Eddie?
Yes, I get the tie-up. Well, Meredith, you're clever as a composer, all right, but I don't think you'll ever find words or music that will adequately describe the fragrant goodness of the Maxwell House coffee Warren Hull is getting ready to serve right now.
Yes, here I come with a steaming, fragrant cup of Maxwell House coffee for each and every one of you. And so, friends, wherever you are, all over the country, pull up your chairs, won't you? Join in this famous Thursday evening custom of ours. A moment of relaxation over a rich and mellow cup of the coffee that's good to the last drop. And with it, we'll give you the music of Meredith Wilson. We pause briefly for station identification.
This is Edward Arnold again, and we continue our good news program with Claudette Colbert, Fanny Bryce, Hanley Stafford, Alan Marshall, Connie Boswell, and Meredith Wilson. Meredith opens our second act with a song from the new Nelson Eddy Ilona Massey picture, MGM's Balalaika. It's called simply, At the Balalaika.
Lift your glasses higher, higher than the sky. We will drink and die, never asking why. Hear our voices ringing, one for all the singing. When the toast is spoken, then the glass is broken. Poi, and a poi, and a poi, and a poi, and a poi. At the Balalaika, where there is magic in the sparkling wine, and mellow music in the candle shine, I have a rendezvous. I hear a violin, a humming ditzy violin, and when it sighs its strangely tender song, I know that I at the Balalaika, oh, let me linger there till hearts are young and bella like a play. I have a
extreme pleasure to present our lovely guest, Claudette Colbert, in a dramatic sketch entitled Happy Year by Arch Obler. With Miss Colbert, you will hear Alan Marshall as Ed Blake, and I will do my best to portray the part of the prosecuting attorney. Meredith, will you ring up the curtain, please?
The scene, a small midtown church. At the altar, a boy and girl standing, heads bowed, while the words of the wedding service are read to them. In the shadows, far to the rear of the church, stands a heavy-set man, intently listening. Another man enters the church, recognizes the onlooker, and approaches him.
To have and to hold from this time forward.
Craig!
Well, I didn't know you went in for daytime church going.
Oh, hello, friend.
Yes, sir, this had certainly surprised the boys back at the city hall. City prosecutor Craig in church at high noon.
The wedding.
Oh, there's weddings going on here all the time.
Yes, what? But I know the couple.
Well, then why don't you go up there to the altar and...
Well, it's much better that they don't know I'm here. Yeah, you know, it's funny how things worked out.
What do you mean?
Well, a year ago today, that boy there and that girl there and I had a choice to make. And I think each one of us made the right choice. Yes, sir, a year ago today, the girl came into my office, frightened and nervous. Won't you sit down, miss?
I'd like to stand if you don't mind.
As you please. Now then, I understand you wanted to see me about the Blake case.
Yes, sir.
Well?
I wanted to tell you that Ed Blake didn't take that money. Why are you laughing?
Because you said just what I expected you to say.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean that just about every time a good-looking man is arrested for embezzlement, sooner or later his sweetheart turns up and tries to take the rap for him.
You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not Ed Blake's sweetheart.
No?
I'm not anything to Ed Blake.
Then why does the mess he's in concern you?
I work in the same office at the very next desk for 2 years.
And you took the money?
Yes, I did.
Now, look here, miss. You expect me to believe that Ed Blake means nothing to you, and yet you're willing to admit a felony which means a year in the penitentiary?
I tell you, I did it. I did it. What more do you want?
I want the truth.
I told you the truth. I took the money, and I'm not going to let him go to jail for something I did.
And what's your answer if I tell you that Ed Blake made a confession, a complete confession?
Confession? Well, how could he confess? I took the money. Can't you get that through your head? I took the money.
All right, take it easy, take it easy.
Yes, Mr. Craig?
Have the Blake boy brought in here, that embezzlement case.
Yes, sir.
No, No, you can't do that. No, please don't bring him in here.
Now, take it easy.
But
take it.
I don't want to see him. Isn't it enough that I told you I took the money? Isn't it enough that I told you I'm willing to go to jail for taking
it? No, it isn't enough. Blake confessed 2 days ago to the embezzlement of those funds. Now you confess. Well, I'm going to get the facts, and I'm going to get them right now.
No, wait, please. Please wait.
Yes.
Blake's out here, sir.
Please, Mr. Craig, please listen to me just for a minute before you send him in.
Well, keep him out there a minute, Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Let me be alone with Ed just a few minutes.
What?
You see, I know why he confessed. I mean, he thought he was going to help me. But if I was alone with him a little while, I know I could make him understand that he isn't helping me, that the truth's got to come out.
Well, I...
Oh, please, Mr. Craig, you've got to do it just for a few minutes. Please.
Very well, make it fast. Hey, Blake, come in here.
Yes, sir.
Somebody wants to talk to you. I'll leave you alone.
Mary.
Ed.
Mary.
And you're holding me in your arms.
Oh, I've wanted to for such a long time.
I knew it.
Funny, isn't it? For 2 years I wanted to do this.
Why didn't you?
Afraid.
You afraid?
Yeah, afraid of marriage, kids, all the rest of it.
But why?
You ask me why? For 20 years you've lived right in the middle of it. You and that family of yours, cheap walk-up flats. Dear God, Mary, working in that office with you day after day, wanting to tell you so many things and all the time knowing I couldn't. Not unless I could give you the things a girl like you has got a right to expect.
Is that why you took...
Yeah, $300. $300 that would have started me up that ladder to fame and fortune those be successful guys are always talking about.
Oh, Ed. Ed, if you'd only have talked to me before you did it.
Well, I took it.
Then why didn't you...
Well, I knew it wasn't the way to give you things.
But why didn't you put
it... I wanted to. I tell you, I wanted to put it back, but the auditors had come in already. It was too late.
Oh, my darling.
I'm not a crook, Mary.
No, don't even say it.
It was just working all day, trying to live on hot dogs and soda pop so I'd have enough money to pay my way in that school that's going to make a lawyer out of me. And then you, so sweet and dear, there near me hour after hour. I tell you, I couldn't stand it anymore, Mary. I had to have the money.
I wouldn't have cared being without money, Ed. I'm so used to it.
Used to it? No, Mary. I have to give you more than you're used to, so I... Oh, Mary.
Oh, no, don't. Don't. You're going to be a great lawyer someday.
Yeah. With a prison record.
No, you won't have that.
Well, what are you talking about? Haven't you heard? All the big shots of the store were down talking to the prosecutor. Me, they're going to make an example out of me.
You're not going to jail, Ed.
Why do you keep saying that? Why?
I'm going to jail.
You what?
That's why I came here to talk to Mr. Craig.
Look, what are you talking about?
Oh, if you'll just listen to me without blowing up, I'll tell you.
I'm listening.
I've thought this whole thing out more carefully than I've thought about anything all my life. For the last 2 days, all I've been doing is thinking things out. Don't you see, Ed? It isn't right for you to go to jail.
But I took the money.
Yes, and somebody's got to pay for that. But not you. Me.
Are you crazy? Why should you...
No, please. You've got to listen. For 3 years, it's been the way you said... You worked all day. You ate the wrong food just so you'd have the little money so you could go to school and try to make something of yourself. Working all day and then going dog-tired to those lessons and staying up half the night studying. Oh, I used to see it in your face, Ed, in the morning when you'd come to work. Your face was old as my father's. So tired.
Oh, it doesn't make sense. What's my studying got to do with the crazy things you're saying about going to jail for?
It's got everything to do with it. 6 more months and you'll be through with school. And you can take a job in a law office and pass your bar examinations and be somebody. Just 6 more months, Ed. You mustn't lose your chance.
A year in jail.
You can't go to jail. Your record's got to be clean.
No, I won't listen.
Oh, you've got to listen. Mr. Craig will be coming back any minute. You've got to listen to every word I say.
Mother in heaven, Mary, what kind of a man do you think I am?
Well, that's just it. If you'll be a man and... Not a boy playing a hero part. We'll both have a chance to be happy. Don't you understand, darling? If you go to jail and kill your chance of ever being somebody, you're killing me, too. You're killing my only chance of ever being happy.
What do you think I am?
Oh, darling, I'm telling you again, stop being a hero. You made a mistake taking that money, but you can't let that mistake kill both our lives. It wasn't your mistake alone. It was mine, too.
But how?
Caring for you and not telling you. Might have made things a little easier.
Oh, what's the use talking? I can't let you go to jail for me.
You've got to, Ed. There's no other choice. You've got to. When it's all over, I'll come back and... We'll be happy.
No, no, I can't let you do it for me.
For you? Don't you understand yet? When a woman loves a man, her life's so very much his that what happens to him happens to her. If you go to jail, you won't go alone anyway. I'll be going with you. My life and my hope.
Mary, please.
I know what you're thinking. All the names the world would call a man who'd let the girl he loves go to jail for him. But it isn't like that with us, Ed. I'd be trading just one little year out of my life for a whole lifetime of happiness afterwards.
I can't let you ruin your life.
Oh, but there's nothing to ruin. All my life I've been just nothing. I've been in jail anyway. My family, the four walls of that flat, and the subway, and my job. Nothing to look forward to but going on dates with fellows that made me sick just to talk to them. Don't you see, darling? I'll be giving a year that means nothing to me but time to be lived through for a lifetime of the happiness you and I can have together afterwards. You've got to give me that chance at happiness, Ed. You've got to. Tell me you'll do it, darling. For me.
I'm sorry, but it's all the time I can give you.
Oh, it was good of you to leave us alone this long, Mr. Craig.
I did it because, frankly, there's been a great deal of pressure put to bear on this case, and I want a confession that'll stand up in court. So now let's have it. Which one of you did take that money?
I did, Mr. Craig. It's the way I told you. I did.
Well, young man, what do you got to say to that?
He had my life.
Stop talking to him. You, Blake, answer me. Was your confession a lie?
Yes.
Well, all right. If that's the way you both want it. Your confession, young woman, I'll get a stenographer right away.
Oh, my darling. I hope we're right.
I know we're right. You've given us new life. You'll work hard while I'm gone, Ed, making a clean start for both of us. Oh, do that, darling, and it'll be such a happy year.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
This is Bill Gargan butting in, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to take this opportunity to say I think Miss Colbert, Eddie Arnold, and Alan Marshall gave very beautiful performances in Mr. Overly's dramatic sketch. And now, another gifted performer, my pal Connie Boswell. Connie, it's a pity you weren't born in Brooklyn.
You should have come from New Orleans, Bill.
Well, we're both here now, anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, Connie Boswell sings Don That Dream.
On that dream, I dream each night. You say you love me and you hold me tight. But when I awake, you're out of sight. Dawn that dream. Dawn your lips and dawn your eyes. They lift me high above the moonlit skies. Then I tumble out of paradise. Dawn that dream. Dawn that one-track mind of mine. Can't understand that you don't care. Just to change the mood I'm in, I'd welcome a nice old nightmare. Darn that dream, bless it too. Without that dream, I never would have you. But it haunts me and it won't come true. Darn that dream. Dawn that dream, my dream each night. You say you love me and you hold me tight. But when I awake, you're out of sight. Whoa, dawn that dream. Dawn your lips, dawn your eyes. They lift me high above the moonlit skies. Then I tumble out of paradise. Whoa, dawn that dream. Darn that one track, mind of mine. It can't understand that you don't care. Just to change the mood I'm in, I'd welcome a nice old nightmare. Darn that dream, bless it too. Without that dream, I never would have you. But it haunts me and it won't come true. Whoa, Oh, darn that dream.
And now here's Warren Hull again, speaking for the makers of Maxwell House Coffee. He has a very helpful suggestion for those of you who say...
I can't figure out why, but I just don't have the knack of making good coffee.
Listen, madam, the fault may not be yours at all. Maybe you're not using the grind of coffee that's exactly right for your way of making coffee.
The right grind? Why is that so important?
Because today, with all the different ways of making coffee, unless the coffee you use is ground just right for the way you make it, the full flavor and goodness can't be extracted, no matter how much you use. That's why today it's just as important to ask for the right grind of coffee as it is to get the right kind. And that's why Maxwell House comes in not one, but two scientifically correct grinds. There's the special drip grind Maxwell House for clear, full-bodied, flavorful coffee in any type of drip or glass coffee maker. And the regular grind Maxwell House for rich, deeply satisfying coffee in percolator or coffee pot. Drip or regular, just ask for the Maxwell House grind that's right for your way of making coffee. We'd like you to discover the extra flavor and economy of perfect coffee, perfectly ground.
What is it, Snooks?
I want to sing.
I've told you 1,000 times you can't sing on this program.
Why?
Because Connie Boswell's good enough to do all the singing around here. Now, you just behave yourself.
I'll be good if you give me some money.
Oh, you will, eh? Well, you'll be good without money.
You want me to be good for nothing?
Never mind that. Come on, we're going home.
No, wait a minute, Daddy.
Oh, Miss Colbert, how do you do?
I'd like to meet this little angel of yours.
Why, certainly. Snooks, this is Miss Claudette Colbert. Say, how do you do?
How do you do, Mrs. Colbert?
How do you do? Snooks, I just heard you ask your daddy for some money for good behavior. Do you always do that?
Mm-hmm. But he never gives me any.
Well, I don't think it's very nice.
Tell him, Mrs. Colbert.
I mean, asking for money isn't very nice.
Oh.
Only greedy little girls do that.
What's greedy?
Oh, she's not really greedy, Miss Colbert. I think I can show you.
How?
Well, I'll let her choose between this dollar bill and this dime. See which one she takes. Oh, Snooks.
Yes, Daddy.
See what I have in my hands?
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want?
The silver one.
What did I tell you?
Wrap it up in that green paper.
I see what you mean, Daddy. Now, Snooks, I want to tell you a story about a greedy little boy.
Where is he now?
Well, right now he's in heaven with the angels.
Do men ever go to heaven?
Why, of course men go to heaven. Why do you ask such a silly question?
Well, I've seen lots of pictures of angels.
Yes?
But I never seen an angel with whiskers.
Well, that's true, Snooks. Men go to heaven, but they get there by a very close shave.
Oh, that's a great one. Isn't it, Snooks?
No. Tell me the story about the greedy boy.
Very well. There was once a little boy, and he threatened his mother that unless she gave him a dollar, he'd put ink in the goldfish bowl.
I done that.
Well, this little boy's mother gave him a dollar not to do it because she was so tired.
Uh-huh.
The minute he got his hands on the money, the little boy ran to the candy store and bought 10 big bags of candy.
Peppermint sticks?
Gumdrops.
Oh, I like them.
The greedy little boy went off by himself and started to devour this enormous amount of candy. He ate 5 whole bags, yeah. 6 bags, 7 bags. Yeah. 8 bags. He finished 8 bags of that candy.
And then?
And then he burst in two.
Oh.
Now, that's a very sad little story. And I hope it'll teach you that it doesn't pay to be greedy. It does make you stop and think, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Now, what are you thinking?
Where's the other 2 bags of gumdrops?
That's enough. Come on, Snooks. We're going.
Thank you.
melody you are now hearing, which is the theme of our concert hall, was written by Meredith Wilson in honor of a great and beloved man. Since this melody was written, that man has passed on. So it is timely that this month we spend a moment paying tribute to him. In the concert hall, Meredith Wilson presents Thoughts While Strolling, from his own suite, dedicated to O. O. McIntyre. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, another treat. We will have with us a man all Hollywood loves, a man whose marvelous performances on the screen have endeared him to all America, that splendid actor and gentleman, Ronald Colman. He will appear in a special preview of Paramount's new picture, The Light That Failed, and with him, as additional guests, we will have Ida Lupino and Muriel Angeles. Of course, all our regular gang will be back again. Irresistible Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks with Hanley Stafford as Daddy. America's favorite singer of popular songs, Connie Boswell, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. It's a show I don't want to miss either, so I'll be here too. I hope you'll make it a date with us. Until next Thursday then, this is Edward Arnold saying good night.
This is Warren Hull reminding you that leading grocers are now featuring Maxwell House coffee at new low prices, prices the most modest budget can afford. Now more than ever is the time to make friends with Maxwell House. And now, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's now more than ever good to the last drop. This is the National Broadcasting Company.